I speak to you in the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. First, a little ecumenical joke. Three men, a minister, a priest, and a rabbi, went for a hike on a very hot day. They were sweating heavily by the time they came upon a small lake with a sandy beach. Since it was a secluded spot, they left all their clothes on a big log, ran down the beach to the lake, and jumped in the water for a long, refreshing swim. Refreshed, they were halfway back up the beach to the spot they'd left their clothes when a group of ladies from town came along. Unable to get to their clothes on time, the minister and the priest covered their privates, and the rabbi covered his face while they ran for cover in the bushes. After the ladies wandered further along and the men got dressed again, the minister and the priest asked the rabbi why he covered his face rather than his privates. The rabbi replied, "I don't know about you, but in my congregation, it's my face they would recognize." Oh, the things we can learn from those whom we see as different from ourselves. One theme to be explored in today's readings is our perception of foreigners, or those who are different from me and mine. Sadly, in our world today, as was so evident last weekend in Charlottesville, Virginia, many people still prefer an us versus them approach. Did any of you see those photos of Episcopalian clergy walking arm in arm, row upon row, to face down the heavily armed racist, neo-Nazi, white supremacists on August 12th? I'm the only one drowning in news. But anyways, I thought it was very impressive. The armed group, people with high-powered rifles right in front of them, facing them. So, although pride is a sin, I was so proud of my American Anglican clergy colleagues. Hopefully, we Canadian clergy can also have such courage if and when we are faced with those who want to keep just their own privileged group as dominant over everyone else, and or those who would kick aside the needs of the poor and marginalized and oppressed in order to hang on to their group's sense of superiority. Shockingly, in our gospel today, it is Jesus himself who seems to pull back into a certain protected group when asked to help someone seen as being different from them. Here's a Canaanite woman asking for the most elemental thing that good mothers desire for their children, that they may be healed and be well. At first, Jesus seems to ignore her and treat her with indifference. Although, who knows, perhaps he was testing his disciples or something like that. And then when pressed by them, not to help her, but rather to send her away, he says, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." In light of recent events, it does feel quite disturbing to hear Jesus basically saying, "I only take care of my own." Yes, of course, Jesus was God, but as you're probably all thinking right now, what about the Christological understanding of the hypostatic union formulated at the Council of Ephesus in 431 AD, right? According to this important church doctrine, with the incarnation of Jesus, God became fully human. Jesus was somehow both fully human and fully divine. The incarnation is a central focus within Anglicanism, both because we like to celebrate the best of what it is to be human, but also because we're conscious of the fact that God resides in all humans and indeed in all creation. But how does that work? The Wikipedia article helpfully notes that as the precise nature of this union is held to defy finite human comprehension, The hypostatic union is also referred to by the alternate term mystical union. Ah yes, how sweet, the mystical union. It's always a great sin of hubris to think we can understand the mind of God. And contrary to popular public opinion, that churchgoers think they know it all, we're obviously stuck in a form of lifelong learning because we keep coming back week after week, partly to try and penetrate the mystery more deeply. Although the church has officially believed that Jesus was both fully human and fully divine for 1600 years, we've tended to err on the side of not really believing the fully human part. So the good news in today's gospel is that we are potentially seeing that fully human part of Jesus up close. Personally, I do not believe that the cosmic Christ, whom Jesus became after his resurrection, would say to this Canaanite mother, "Sorry, no, can't heal your daughter because you're not Jewish like me and mine." Then he answers her further pleas for help by saying, "It is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs." But she persisted. This idea of persistence as a virtue has hit the public spotlight again after the February efforts to silence Senator Elizabeth Warren while she tried to explain the many reasons why a certain government appointment was inappropriate. "She had been warned," said the Senate leader, "but nevertheless she persisted." This soon became a battle cry for many groups speaking on behalf of a variety of social justice concerns. So our Canaanite woman in today's gospel also nevertheless persists. Even after Jesus makes that seemingly harsh comment about not throwing the children's food to the house dogs, "Yes, Lord," she says, "yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table." Jesus is apparently very moved by her response, since he then immediately grants her request after saying, "Woman, great is your faith." Now, measuring healing results according to one's level of faith has led to other human misunderstandings of how God works, but that's another story. A further point of good news in this gospel, then, is that Jesus himself sometimes experienced conversion to a more expansive perspective on humanity. So there's hope for us too. Many of us are at least partially stuck with various inherited filters through which we understand or interpret the world. Have any of you read Frank McCourt's two memoirs, Angela's Ashes and/or Tiz? Yes, some of you have. Very good. Well-read people. When McCourt comes back to America as a young man, you may recall, his efforts to adopt the American point of view are often stymied by the conscious or unconscious persistence of his past experiences. I'm guessing we all inherited certain points of view from our parents or grandparents, just as white supremacists seem to have done. And it's not easy to truly break away from the attitudes that were quite acceptable in previous times. Wish I had time to also get into this, the excellent Genesis reading today, but suffice it to say that Joseph, the Hebrew Bible man of dreams, ends up doing very well when a foreign power trusts him. The other Joseph in the New Testament, Mary's betrothed, was also a man of dreams whom God spoke to in his dreams. So I thought of Martin Luther King Jr.'s I Have a Dream speech written in 1963. "I have a dream," he said, "that one day this nation will rise up and live out the true meaning of its creed. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all are created equal." This creed, written almost two centuries earlier, was sadly far from an accomplished reality when King Jr. wrote his speech and fought against the racial injustice of his times. More than half a century after his dream speech, we still saw last weekend the increasingly unbearable curse of humans just not getting it, that to God there is no such thing as a foreigner. And all of Earth's people are God's children, and that all creation is loved by the Creator. May we inscribe anew in our hearts and minds these important truths as we struggle against the many forms of evil that want to dominate and subdue the earth and treat cruelly many of God's creatures, all too often for the sake of personal gain. May evil fail and good prevail on every part of God's green earth in our times, and may we not lack the courage to speak up against such evil, rather than being complicit by our silence. Amen.